Vegas Golden Podcast, a player a day series. I'm Case Kiefer with Justin Emerson, and we have arrived on the 11th player of our preseason series, and that is the inescapable Cody Eakin. Feel like I heard Eakin's name more this offseason than anyone's. I think we all know why that is, but when I say inescapable, it just really is unavoidable, Justin. I think even when, you know, I feel like it had simmered down a little bit, the whole penalty and the way the Golden Knights season ended last year, I'm looking at one of the big football betting contests here locally. I believe it was the Circa Million, but it could have been the Super Contest. I'm looking at like the very few people that went 5-0 in week one. And one of the team names, of course, is Eakin Penalty, not a major. I just swear that's what I mean when it's unavoidable. I feel like no one is no one's ever going to let this die. Not that they should. I know it's part of being a fan base like this, but I just feel like I've heard Cody Eakin's name a lot.
Did you bring that up just so you could say that you went 5-0 in week one?
I wish. Maybe I should have gotten that karma points by complaining about something happening in sports, but
yeah, no, Eakin finished last season in a little bit of infamy that it's in a weird spot because like people remember it, but nobody blames Eakin for it. And I don't think anybody should. We've talked about it. But yeah, Cody Eakin was a guy that a lot of people, myself included, had pegged as a possible trade candidate. He was coming off a very good season, career high in goals and points. He was in the last year of his contract for a team that had a cap crunch and depth at the position. That just, to me, kind of screams trade. But they decided to trade Eric Halla instead, so Cody Eakin is here. I will say Eakin's a good third-line center, and it will be interesting to see where he is, especially because he is the one who is most connected to a certain top prospect in the organization.
And we were totally on the same page with him as a trade target. I was with you 100%. I thought that he would be a guy they could look to move, especially because I think the big point of this is arguably you're never going to have a better season to trade him off of. Cody Eakin had a career year last year, 22 goals, 41 points in the regular season, both career highs, plus 19 on the ice. It just felt like, you know, the Golden Knights were in a crunch. They obviously couldn't keep everyone. He was making the most money. He probably had the most value at that time. I just thought that a lot of the stars aligned and it would have made a lot of sense to shop the guy.
Yeah.
Didn't happen, though.
Yeah, it would. And when you look at those numbers, it all looks pretty good. And it'd be like, well, why did the Golden Knights want to get rid of this guy? Well, I think for the same reason that maybe teams didn't want to give up a lot of value for him, because when you look into the some of the advanced stats, that season isn't quite looking as sustainable as it may appear.
Doesn't hold up to the scrutiny. So kind of in direct contrast to yesterday, we talked about Alex Tuch likely to be Eakin's kind of partner in crime this year, and said you said his numbers were real sustainable. It's a 180 for Cody Eakin.
Yep, that is true. First off is age. Cody Eakin is 28 this year, so kind of hockey players tend to peak a little bit earlier than players in other sports. So when a guy has a career year at 28, you think, hey, that's a little strange. Maybe we should take a look into that. So we did. And at 5-on-5, he had 17 goals, 16 assists, so that's where most of his production came from. And yeah, the advanced numbers don't paint that great of a picture of our third line center here. Eakin had 17 goals, like I said, at 5-on-5. Expected goals number is 8.69. Expected goals, I've mentioned it a lot, if I haven't said it recently, is it's kind of a projection based on both quantity and quality of shots, so where the shots on the ice came from, and the projection of how often goalies save shots from that spot. So it's a pretty good indicator of how many goals somebody should have had. We brought it up with William Karlsson, how when he had his career season, his shooting percentage and expected goals were unsustainable. Eakin's kind of the same way. 17 5-on-5 goals, 8.69 expected goals. So he nearly doubled his expected goal output. Shooting percentage at all strengths last year for Cody Eakin was 18.3. Before last year, his career shooting percentage, and Eakin's an older player, so he had 450 games of 10% shooting and became an 18.3% shooter last year. He was also the only Golden Knight to be below, to have a negative Corsi last season, so his possession numbers weren't great. Yeah, it was a good season for Eakin, and there are certain things. There's a difference in stats between stats that just kind of tell you what happened and others that project what might happen in the future. His goals numbers in this case were a good indicator. It's not to take away. He had a good season last year. I would just be surprised if he does it again based on the shooting percentage, expected goals, Corsi numbers that I had just kind of gone over.
The Golden Knights, at least when I've looked, obviously have not dove near as much into the numbers as you, but I'm kind of surprised anyone on the team had a negative Corsi number. How's that happen? Everyone I look at is usually around like 54, like in the high range. I know the Golden Knights graded out very well in that. I think that's a kind of a big strike against Eakin.
Yeah, he was an offensive player last year, and the problem with Corsi numbers is I like to reference them a lot because I think that they're a better indicator than, say, plus minus, because it takes away the randomness of goals, whereas, possession you have more direct control over. But the fact is that Cody Eakin at 5-on-5, when he was on the ice, the Golden Knights gave up more shots. The fact that he was the only one, and this isn't without a minimum games threshold. He was the only Golden Knight last season, minimum one game played, to be below 50. So I'm not necessarily sure that that's a red flag. Let me take a look at it. His Corsi numbers over his career are not immediately available to me, so just ignore that one.
Looks like a little below 50 for his career as well.
Yeah, so a little bit below 50. He hasn't been a great possession guy. Defensively, didn't match his offensive output from last year. And a lot of that, some of that, he was playing with offensive-minded players. A lot of that, particularly at the end of the last year, Brandon Peary and Alex Tuck, that's a threesome who doesn't necessarily, aren't exactly defensive whizzes, but can all put the puck into the net. So when you're asking lines to do different things, some of the times he was below 50, but that might not have been a talent thing. That may have just been that's not what he was asked to do. So it's not necessarily a good look, no matter how you spin it. He also had 3 shorthanded goals last year, which is a lot. So he played on the penalty kill, scored, like I just said, 3 of those goals. So yeah, the 5-on-5 numbers, I know I'm rambling a little bit, not super great for Eakin.
Yeah, should regress a little bit. I would
imagine so. I mean, his career numbers before his career highs were 19 goals and 40 points. So 3 fewer goals and 1 fewer point than last year. That was 4 years ago when he was with Dallas. Last year with Vegas, or 2 years ago now, I guess, 80 games, 11 goals and 27 points. So a huge spike, doubled his goal output, increased his points by 50%. So.
Yes, so no team can ever get everything they want, can have it perfect. But in like a utopian world, do you think Eakin would pair best on a line with a guy that's more defensive first? He hasn't really had that luxury, I don't feel like, in Vegas, and it doesn't really look like he's going to this year. But do you think because I don't think anyone's really going to dispute he's valuable to you offensively. I think he's so quick, fast. Obviously, he scored a lot last year, even if he scored more than he should have. But do you think if maybe he had a more defensive guy to even it out, that would be ideal?
I would say so. And they played him on the penalty kill last year, but he was still kind of that fifth forward. It was the Riley Smith and William Karlsson pairing, and the Tomasz Noshik and Pierre-Edouard Belmar pairing. Eakin was kind of that other guy. But I mean, on any line, to me, if I'm constructing a line, you like to have an offensive guy, a defensive guy, and a guy who does a little bit of both. And there's not a whole lot of defensive guys, a whole lot of defensive wingers just like around the league. So you kind of rely on your center to be that defensive player. You look at it with like William Karlsson, good offensively, great defensively. Paul Stastny, good offensively, great defensively. And then Cody Eakin, good offensively, kind of sitting around average defensively. So if you had maybe an elite defensive winger playing with him, the numbers would look a lot better. But to be fair, I think you can say that about anybody. What interests me, though, is what's going to happen if and when Cody Glass gets here, because he's a guy that's not going to displace Paul Stastny or William Karlsson in the top 6. They've mentioned at training camp that they'd like to keep they'd like to keep Glass as a center instead of playing him on the wing. So at some point, he might just be forcing his way up, and whether they play him at the fourth line or they put Eakin on the fourth line, or maybe they move Eakin to the wing and have Glass play center, or they put Glass on the wing and have Eakin play center. It will be interesting because I think Cody Glass and Eakin are kind of intertwined a little bit just because they kind of are going to be asked to play the same role. And if let's just say Cody Eakin gets hurt, Cody Glass fills right in playing almost exactly the same role.
Same name, same role.
That makes sense. Yeah, Cody. How about that?
I think and the other reason why maybe they're so intertwined, I don't remember what player it was, but the other time Cody Glass has come up on these podcasts, I mean, you did mention that he doesn't really seem like an ideal fit to be on the fourth line. You're probably not going to play him alongside Carrier and Reeves. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of a logjam there with the two Codys.
Yeah, it is a little bit. Both of them are kind of middle six centers. You want them on the kind of the second or the third line. If Paul Stastny or William Karlsson gets hurt, Glass comes in and you readjust either Eakin or Glass playing one of those spots. But Cody Eakin's a guy they decided that they wanted to have this year. Maybe they tried to trade him and other teams saw the same 5-on-5 numbers I did. Or maybe they decided, you know what, we're gonna let him play out the rest of his contract. I would be surprised if he did re-up just for the Cody Glass reason mentioned for next season. So this may be Cody Eakin's last season in Vegas, and he's going to try to make it a good one going into unrestricted free agency this summer.
Right, unrestricted free agent this summer, you said it. Final year of his deal. I don't even know how much, we'll never know, but I wouldn't be stunned if the Golden Knights didn't even shop him around that much. There was always, I think even going into the expansion drafts, there were rumblings that I think this is one everyone pegged. They thought they were going to take him from the Stars, that George mm-hmm. McPhee was a Cody Eakin guy. I think he drafted him. Maybe the Golden Knights have a little bit of a soft spot for him. Who knows?
Maybe they do, and they decided they wanted to have Eakin over Halla, and maybe they didn't view Halla as a center and saw him more as a winger. We will see.
Certainly a long shot to be on the roster next year, but we have one more year left with Cody Eakin, and that brings us to how we like to finish off all of these player preview podcasts. An over-under prop bet, and for Cody Eakin, it is goals once again from the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook. Cody Eakin, over-under 12.5 goals.
That is much lower than I thought it was going to be. I think a lot of people will maybe see, well, he scored 22. How is he going to drop to 12.5? He's going to play a similar role. Well, I mean, clearly I just said why I don't think so.
11 the year before.
Yeah, 11 the year before, 3 the year before that in 60 games. Obviously didn't watch a lot of Stars hockey that year. I'm going to go ahead and guess he was probably hurt. But the year before that, it was 16, 12.5. Wow. That seems very low to me.
Because if he has the time, he'll have the opportunities.
Yeah, let's see. So expected goals last year was about 9. He's probably not going to be on the ice at the end of games for empty netters. Probably not getting a lot of power play time. Wow, it seems low. And as soon as you said that, my thought was over. But expected goals was 8 the year before, 8 year before that. So he's kind of steady in that regard. I guess I'm going to go under, but I am not happy about that.
I guess I've kind of backed myself into this corner a bunch, but I like to stagger because I feel like a lot of these guys that are going to play together, a lot it's smarter to go one over, one under, and I went under with Tuck yesterday, and since you did seem to think it was a little low, I'm going to go over just barely. I would not expect another 22-goal season by any means, yeah. But maybe he can get to 14 or 15.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. That's another one. Man, it's almost like these people at casinos are good at this.
Yeah, they're pretty good at it, for sure. These Vegas ones, there hasn't been one that I've come upon like, man, I need to bet that. I really like it for any of these Golden Knights props. They've all been spot on, so shout out to the Westgate for that. Eakin is 100-1, however, to lead the team in goals.
I would not put money on that.
No, I think that probably best to stay away from that one. We'll be back tomorrow to finish off at least what we project currently to be the third line. For Justin, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to Vegas Golden Podcast.